Welcome to the Fan Podcast. I'm Mo Horton. How is everybody doing? Thanks for everybody who listened to my last podcast, everybody who gave me feedback, everybody who shared the podcast, everybody who been talking about it, been rating it. I appreciate you. And thank you for tuning back in to another installment of my podcast. NFL season, college football, high school football, all football is on its way. August 2nd, the Chicago Bears and the Baltimore Ravens will play in the Hall of Fame game to kick off the preseason and basically open the gateway to football season. Been a long time coming since February when the Philadelphia Eagles, don't mean to brag or be a homer, but my favorite football team won the NFL championship. So I can't be a little biased when it comes to them because it's been a long time coming. But it got me to thinking, it got me to breaking down film, it got me to analyzing, it got me to kind of get some predictions about the 32 NFL football teams coming up this season. I call it my All 32, and I'm going to start with the AFC and the NFC West today. And these are two up-and-coming divisions. I can say for the NFC West, the LA Rams pretty much took the crown last year, had a great season, kind of put everybody on notice from week one on, had a first round exit in the playoffs. The Arizona Cardinals lost David Johnson last year and pretty much ended their season. Seattle, a lot of injury, a lot of age, missed the playoffs for the first time in five seasons. And the 49ers, although they started off weak, ended up finishing strong with Jimmy Garoppolo winning five games last season in the trade for a second-round pick from the New England Patriots. So it's a lot of promise in that division. Then you kick it over to the AFC West, where we got the Chiefs, who were king of that division last year. Lost in the first round to the Titans from some controversy calls, a lot of bad play calling, a lot of bad clock managing, and they should have won the game. So let's see what they can do to build on to next season. The Broncos missing the playoffs, still got question marks at quarterback. What would they do? The Chargers seem like they're on the cusp, seem like they were winning and on the streak, then the bottom fell out of it. And the Oakland Raiders, John Gruden, $100 million man. What would he do to turn around the Raiders this season? So we got a lot to talk about. We're going to kick it off already with the AFC West. AFC West, we're going to start off with the Kansas City Chiefs. The Kansas City Chiefs are bringing back a lot of players this season. They got a lot of good players. Obviously, Tyreek Hill. Obviously, Travis Kelce. Look on the defensive end with Justin Houston. So they got a lot of great players on their team. Eric Berry, obviously, got acquired Kendall Fuller from the Washington Redskins on defense. The Parchers on their team, Derrick Johnson, longtime veteran linebacker. They lost Marcus Peterson via trade, which they didn't have to trade him, but you know they decided they wanted to trade him anyway. Trading Alex Smith to the Washington Redskins so they can finally give the reins to second-year player out of Texas Tech, Pat Mahomes. So it's going to be a great season for the Chiefs. I think it's going to be looking bright for them. They got a lot of tough games coming up on the schedule. Obviously, their division games are going to be very, very tough, especially at the gate going to the Chargers. They got a lot of games in NFC West going up against teams like the Rams and the 49ers. So it's going to be a tough testing season, but I think they're going to do pretty well. It's depending on what type of season that Pat Mahomes can have on Andy Reid's pass-happy offense, because everyone knows that a young quarterback, the run game is his friend, and they have an excellent running back in Kareem Hunt. But behind Pat Mahomes, I believe they can just start the season out handing the ball off to Kareem Hunt and kind of incorporate Pat Mahomes as the season go along, maybe get him some play action, maybe get him some deep passes, which he's very, very accurate at. Get him outside the pocket. Get him moving around. I think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to have the most dangerous offense in the NFL. not including the addition of Sammy Watkins also, still have Chris Conley on the team as well. So they have a lot of firepower on that offense. And so let's see what they can do this season. Let's see if the Kansas City Chiefs can take the next step. AFC Championship game. Maybe at home this season. A lot of Chiefs fans out there. I got a lot of Chiefs fans that are friends of mine who would love to have an AFC Championship game at home. So let's see what they can do this season. Checking their schedule, like I said, they got a lot of tough games, but I believe this offense is so explosive. I do have questions about certain parts of their secondary. Not so much Kendall Fuller, which I believe he'll be playing a nickelback this year. Not so much Eric Berry, because obviously one of the best defensive players in the league. But their other corners, whether they have and who they have to cover, are the other cornerbacks. Definitely concerned about the inside linebacker situation since Derrick Johnson's gone. They do have Reggie Ragland, but he's more of a two-down linebacker. More of a run stopper, can't really control and cover the pass. Will they be able to stop gaps and not give up a whole lot of runs this year? Will they move Justin Houston around on the defensive line and not drop him into coverage every so often? So it's going to be a big test to see for that defense. But I believe the offense is going to be as explosive as any offense in the league, the most dangerous offense in the league, if you ask me. Looking over their schedule, I believe that the Chiefs will go 12-4 this season. I believe they're going to have a great season. I believe they're going to sweep both games against the Broncos. I think they're going to win one of two games at the Chargers. I believe they'll win the first game of the season against the Chargers, but I believe they'll come back to Arrowhead and lose one to the Chargers, because I think by that time or the middle of the season, the Chargers will have everything kind of figured out. I do believe that they'll win both games against Oakland. I think they'll have some trouble against some of those NFC West teams, mainly the LA Rams. I think they'll probably have a tough time against Seattle also, but I believe that they're going to have a great season. I only given them four losses this season. I believe that they'll be in the tops of the division, and I believe that in the AFC as a whole, they'll either be number one or number two in the final standings. I believe it's going to be neck and neck. I think they're going to have a breakout season. I believe that Alex Smith, getting rid of him was the best thing for them, because Alex Smith, believe it or not, is not a very good quarterback. His numbers might fool you, but he doesn't throw the ball over 10 yards. He's not going to get you a first down. Part of the reason why he got replaced in San Francisco is because he was limiting the offense. He did lead them to an NFC Championship game, but he didn't give them the firepower that they needed to get over the top. And I believe if the 49ers would have had Alex Smith under center when they were losing to the Falcons in the NFC Championship game in 2012, no way they'd come back in that game. No way, because Alex Smith is not a guy who's used to playing from behind. He is a front runner. Like I said, 10 yards and a cloud of dust for him. He can't throw the ball and get you a first down. He can't make the big throws. He did have a better season last year throwing the ball, but I believe that was an anomaly. I believe that he's not going to do that every season because he had his contract on the line and his career in Kansas City on the line with Pat Mahomes behind him. So I believe they actually made a great move and finally giving the keys to the young man. And I believe they're going to have a great season this year. I believe they're going to have some great games. And I believe they're going to be challenging the Patriots this year in the AFC. And like I said before, I think they're going to, you know, run roughshod over their division. I only got them losing one division game, that's to the Chargers. And speaking of the Chargers are coming back this season under Anthony Lynn, head coach. Had a great season last year, starting off, kind of fizzled off and towards the middle, then they finished strong at the end, but wasn't enough to get to the playoffs. Had a great finish to their season, just wasn't enough to get into the playoffs last year. But I think they got a great team. I think this team is very, very underrated. They're going to have some problems filling their tight end spot because of the absence of Antonio Gates, and they had a few tight ends get injured in training camp. So that means that Phillip Rivers is going to have to rely more on Floyd. Going to have to rely more on all his receivers, Melvin Gordon out of the backfield. And also he has to rely on that defense, which has gotten a whole lot better with Ingram and a lot of the cornerbacks that they have. So I think it's going to be a great season for the Chargers. I believe the Chargers are one of the most underrated teams in the NFL. I believe they're going to get in the playoffs this year. And I believe when they get there, they're going to make some noise. Phillip Rivers, is a veteran quarterback, very, very savvy, very, very smart. Just needed all the pieces to get back around him. I believe they have the offensive line talent. I believe they have the receiver talent, obviously. I believe they have the talent on defense. They just got to put it all together and a full season together and win some games. And I have them going 10-6 this year. I believe they're going to go 10-6. I believe they're going to be a wild card in the playoffs this year. I got them beating the Chiefs once, losing to them once. I got them sweeping the Broncos. I got them splitting 1-1 with the Oakland Raiders. And I got them basically doing pretty well against the NFC West also. I got them going 10-6 this year. I think they're going to have a great season. I think they're going to do well. They're going to take the next step under Anthony Lynn. The L.A. Chargers, now they, I mean, they play in a small stadium, basically a soccer stadium. But I think that they're going to put everybody back on notice that the Chargers are a team to reckon with. I believe they're going to get in the playoffs, and whoever draws them at the 3 seed or the 4 seed, they're going to have their hands full against this team. I believe they're going to make a lot of noise in the playoffs. And I think that Phillip Rivers will finally get a chance to cement himself as a great quarterback. I mean, it's a chance this team can make the Super Bowl this year. That's how loaded and talented that they are. So be on the lookout for the Chargers. Also in the AFC West, I'm going to kick it over to the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos acquired Case Keenum this offseason due free agency. The Minnesota Vikings decided not to give him a contract. Decided to go with Kirk Cousins instead. So Case Keenum will be on the center for the Denver Broncos. Not to also rule out Paxton Lynch, but more likely Case Keenum will be your starter. A lot of things went wrong for the Broncos last year. Defense got a little bit older. They still had a pretty elite defense last year, but you can see kind of sort of the cracks in the armor. It wasn't the same defense as that 2015 ferocious defense that they had. They still have Chris Harris Jr. back there at corner, which is a great cornerback. Still got great linebacker talent, obviously, with Von Miller, Shane Ray. They drafted really good, especially at linebacker. Got great defensive linemen. So the defense is not going to be a problem for me. Even with the loss of Tlaib, I believe they're still going to have an elite defense this year. It all really comes down to what the offense does. What type of offensive performance will this team have this year under Case Keenum? Case Keenum can run that type of Gary Kubiak kind of bootleg style offense that they got incorporated there in Denver. Even though Gary Kubiak isn't there anymore, some of the same principles does still apply in their offenses. So I believe that he can kind of run their offense, get outside the pocket, get outside the numbers. Got a couple of good running backs back there. So still got Demaryius Thomas, obviously, at wide receiver. So I believe they're going to have a great season. It's all about, can they do well on offense? I think they're going to have – it's going to be decent. I don't think they make the playoffs this year, though. I think they're going to make a step forward from what they did last year. I got them going 7-9 this year. I got them losing quite a bit of division games. I got them losing twice to the Chiefs. Got them losing twice to the Chargers. I think they'll win both games at Oakland. But I don't believe that they'll, you know, do too much in the division and out of division either. I think they're going to struggle against some of these high-powered teams that are on the defensive end just because on the offensive end, rather, just because their offense can't keep up as far as scoring points. Defense will keep them in the game, but I don't believe the offense is going to be good enough to score a lot of points. I think they're going to find their own towards the end of the season. But I believe the Broncos will finish 7-9 this season. And to wrap up the AFC West, we have the Oakland Raiders. John Madden's team. Nationwide Raider Nation. $100 million to John Gruden to get him away from that cushy job at Monday Night Football for ESPN. You got John Gruden, who hasn't coached in almost 10 seasons since he was at Tampa Bay, hasn't coached with the Raiders in 17 seasons since 2001. So the questions really are with the coach. What type of mindset does he have? Is he going to come in with an older mindset, basically, to run some type of offense? He said he wants to recreate 1998 again. Well, you know, the league has progressed since then. You can't run that type of offense anymore, those type of schemes anymore. So how has he progressed? How have he learned from his times off? That's the big question. What type of impact will Gruden have, and what type of impact will he have on his team? Will he inspire them, or will he degrade them? That's the question. They got a lot of older guys on the team this year, a lot of veterans, savvy veterans. Derek Johnson joined that team. There's a lot of older guys, so it's trying to see how you can mesh those older guys in with some of the new guys. The biggest elephant in the room for that team is Khalil Mack is still unsigned. Khalil Mack is on hold out. He still has 1 year left on his rookie deal, but looking for a monster extension. I believe they should pay him because he is the best defensive player. He is defensive player of the year. He's very, very good friends with Derek Carr. You know, and the quarterback, I'm pretty sure, would love to have somebody on the defensive end that can get to the other team's quarterback and help him get back on the field. So I think it's very important that they make these talks with Khalil Mack and get him back in training camp and see what type of season they'll have. I really don't have a lot of expectations for the Raiders this year. I think they're going to have a season where they're going to be meshing together, trying to figure things out under new coach John Gruden. Their offense is going to be okay. Amari Cooper, got to see what other offensive weapon as far as wide receivers stands up. I think Marshawn Lynch has kind of seen some, kind of sort of his last days, especially because he doesn't have a particularly good offensive line on this Raiders team. So really it's just about what they have and what can they do to build going forward. I think they have an even worse year than they had last season. I got them going 4-12 this year, pretty much getting wiped out in the division. Only win I give them in the division really is one against the Chargers maybe, because the Chargers are going to be coming on a short week playing them. I believe they can get that game. But other than that, I really don't have any expectations for the Raiders. 4-12 this year for me. Just a building block season. What can they do to, you know, going forward, trying to see what they can do in the future, year one under John Gruden, before they make the move to Las Vegas. So it just depends on what they have and what can they get and how can they build towards the future. I'm not saying they're going to tank or anything like that, but I think they're going to, you know, have a bad season, maybe be in the top 5 picks next year, maybe get a lottery pick and maybe can get an impact player in the draft. But I don't have a lot of expectations for the Raiders this season. Well, time to pay some bills. Do you know that this year, in 97 days, the midterm elections of 2018 will be coming up? The greatest impacts on your communities, locally and statewide, starts with these elections. Are you registered to vote? If not, go to usvotefoundation.org, usvotefoundation.org. You can register to vote, see where pollings are, see where location that you can get your votes across, and make an impact, not only in your community and your neighborhood, but for yourself. Go to usvotefoundation.org. That's usvotefoundation.org. So we are back, and this time we're going to be previewing the NFC West. Very, very good division. A lot of upside, a lot of promise in this division coming up. I believe that it's going to be a very, very tough division for other teams to play, but also them playing each other. I think it's going to be like a kind of carnivorous-like season. A lot of barbaricness, a lot of them beating up on each other coming up this season. A lot of star-powered, a lot of high-powered offenses, a lot of promise for all of these teams. I will start out with last year's division champs, the LA Rams. The LA Rams had a great season last year, getting to the 3 seed in the NFC playoffs, hosting a playoff game last year against the Falcons. I believe they were heavily favored in that game, should have won that game. A lot of factors played into it. Obviously, that was their first playoff game, so a lot of nerves there. Wasn't very much of a home field advantage, considering the fact that LA is more of a Raiders town, more of a USC town, doesn't really accept the Rams in that way. But they have a very, very good team, and they're very, very loaded, obviously, bringing back Todd Gurley. Jared Goff made a lot of improvements, a lot of strides last year on the offensive end. Robert Woods, who was a breakout last year for that team, very, very good position receiver who can also run those intermediate to deep routes, depending on the scheme of the offense and what type of plays they run in that system. They have a great offensive line coming back. Very, very talented guys across the board. Great tight ends. Defensively, they still are pretty stacked. Robert Quinn still got a pretty good secondary, but it's all about the additions that they made. It's all about Ndamukong Suh. It's all about Aqib Talib. It's all about Sam Shields. It's all about Marcus Peters. A lot of great additions. And then they go ahead on and bring in Brandon Cooks at the wide receiver position and give him a new 5-year extension. Another guy who's very, very fast, can lift the top off the defense, which kind of what Sean McVay, the head coach of the LA Rams, wants to do on offense. Sammy Watkins played that role last year for the Rams, kind of run a lot of deep routes, a lot of decoy routes, kind of imaging what McVay ran in Washington when DeSean Jackson ran the deep routes, clearing everything out underneath for Pierre Garçon. So they're going to try to do something similar there with the Rams, this time with Brandon Cooks running those deep routes and Robert Woods getting everything underneath. Todd Gurley is the premier back in this league. I think besides on this side of Le'Veon Bell, he is the best running back in the National Football League. Can do it all, can run, can pass block, can get out and catch the ball out of the backfield. He can do it all. He's a complete back. Can kick return. He can do whatever that you need. So I think they're going to be a great team this year. A lot of additions on, like I said, on the team. They're pretty much going Super Bowl or broke this year. They're basically putting all the chips in on the table. I think they'll have a pretty good season. They have a lot of tough games coming up, especially within their division. And they're going to go opposite to the AFC West playing each other this year. But I think they're going to have a great season. And their division-wise, I got them winning both games against the 49ers. Got them winning both games against Arizona. I got them losing one to Seattle in Seattle. But other than that, they're going to have a great season. I think a really, really big impact. Well, it may skew my predictions of their record later. But as of right now, because of it, I have them at 11-5. And the thing that I'm talking about is Aaron Donald. For those of you who do not know, Aaron Donald right now is holding out. He's still on his rookie deal, on the fifth and final year of that rookie deal, believes he's outperformed his contract and he should be getting paid. And I agree with him. I think he should be getting more money because guys like Brandon Cook, who just came there, Brandon Cooks just got there and got an extension. Hasn't even played for the team yet. Giving big money to Talib, giving big money to Marcus Peters, you know, giving big money to Ndamukong Suh. Gurley just got his extension. I believe they should pay Aaron Donald. He should be the highest paid player, defensive player in the league because he's that dominant of a force. You think about that defense with Ndamukong Suh and Aaron Donald side by side with that, those linebackers that they have and that lockdown secondary that they have, Joyner, Shields, Talib, Peters. It's going to be a great team. It's going to be a very, very great team. I think they're going to do well. I get them 11-5 record. If Donald comes back, I get them 13-3. But I get them an 11-5 record. Yeah, I'm losing the game to the Eagles. I got them losing one to Seattle. They'll probably lose a game. I think they'll probably drop a game to like the Broncos. I think they're going to have an itchy, sketchy season, but I think they're going to do pretty well. 11-5, pretty good for them. I think they'll get them to at least the third seed again, hosting another playoff game. I think they're going to do very, very good this season. I think they're going to, you know, open a lot of people's eyes and open their own eyes to the opportunity that which is in front of them, which is to make it to a Super Bowl. They have all the capabilities of making so. Just get in the dance. Just get there. All they have to do is get in the dance, and I think they'll make some noise once they get there. 11-5 is pretty good for me. Like I said, if Aaron Donald plays the whole season, 13-3. I think they got that good of a team. I'm very high on the Rams. I'm very high. They're my dark horse to get to the Super Bowl. I'm very high on this team. I think they have all the potential, all the ingredients, a young, invigorating, very intelligent, smart coach, very, very innovative with his offensive play calling, Wade Phillips, you know how he gets down. You know how Wade Phillips does it on defense. You seen the 2015 Denver Broncos. So I believe they got a great team. This is their best shot. It's Super Bowl or bust for the LA Rams this season. Turning the page in the division. Gonna take a look at those San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers acquired Jimmy Garoppolo last season for a second round pick from the New England Patriots. Came in and instantly invigorated that team upon playing. Got some mop-up duty at the end of a game. Then ever since he became a starter, been smoking ever since. Give them a lot of optimism going into this season. Already has Goodwin, a great receiver. Still kind of building and getting pieces around him with Garcon. Still trying to figure out the running back position. So it's going to be a struggle in offense. But I think Jimmy G will cure a lot of wounds. He'll be a band-aid over a lot of wounds this season until they figure out what they want to do as far as building around him. The defensive end, they're pretty much so-so. Richard Sherman is on the team. Looking at videos of him in training camp, he's not looking too good right now. I think maybe as the season progresses, early in the season, he's going to struggle. But as the season progresses and he gets used to, you know, getting his legs back after both of those Achilles injuries that he had, I think he'll be just fine. But starting out, he's going to struggle. And that team's going to struggle, losing Eric Reed. A lot of people don't understand how important he was to that defense. Could play safety, could play in the box as an outside linebacker, could get to the quarterback, could play coverage, you know, could play zone. He was a very, very good player for that team. So it's going to be hard to replace him. So because of that, and having said that, with the tough schedule they have, obviously in their division and also out of the division, I got the 49ers going 7-9 this season. I believe they take a step forward, not making the playoffs, but they're going to have a lot of optimism and a lot of hope for the future of this team. I think they're going to be in a great position to draft pretty well in the kind of top 15-ish of the draft. But I believe that they're going to take the next step forward, in order to be a great team in this league. Because that division is going to be stacked. I think it's going to be like, you know, the times of old, how it was in 2011-12 when Seattle and you know, the 49ers and the Cardinals was going at it. And I believe, you know, it's going to be that way in the coming years with a lot of these teams. We're going to go to the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals, you know, I think they're going to have a so-so season. Not so much because of the offense, because they do have David Johnson coming back this season. Their switch army knife, the guy that can do everything, can pass protect, can catch out of the backfield, can run the ball very, very effectively, was basically their post, their heartbeat of that team that went to the playoffs a few years ago. He's a very, very good player, very, very talented, very, very invigorated player, very, very like a glue guy for that team. And when he got injured last season, that hurt them. He's looking for a new contract as well. I believe they're going to give it to him because he is their best player. Declining Larry Fitzgerald, kind of sketchy across the board as far as the receiver's concerned. Brought in Sam Bradford to be the starting quarterback. Basically bridging to Josh Rosen, who they drafted number 10 in the draft. So I think this is going to be a pretty, pretty decent team this year. Not a lot of expectations for them. Don't really see them doing a whole lot. I think they'll win some games and surprise a couple of people. Got them pretty much losing to the Rams twice. I think they'll split one with the 49ers. I think they'll split one with the Seattle Seahawks. But other than that, I got them going 6-10 this season. Not a bad season, not a great one either. Think they're going to just, you know, kind of feel things out. Got a new head coach. A lot of older veteran players, Chandler Jones on that team. Look out for him, though. He's going to be amazing. Led the leagues in sack last year, 17 of them. So he's going to be pretty good on the defensive end. Look for a lot of those guys on the defensive line. See if they can make the next step and try to get that team to be elite again on the defensive end. They used to have a really, really good defense. If they can get back to even a sliver of some of those defenses they had in the past, they might can do something. Because Josh Rosen, he has a lot of upside. He's a very, very good quarterback in college. You really didn't get to see that. because at UCLA, he didn't have a really, really good team around him. Not a whole lot of good talent on the offensive line. Definitely didn't really have anybody to throw the ball to either. Had some pretty decent running backs, but in college, he didn't really have an opportunity to showcase his talents. Well, in the NFL, he'll have that opportunity. I believe that the Cardinals will use this season to kind of start Sam Bradford out, then ease Rosen in towards the middle and end of the season to get him some experience and get him comfortable with the team. And then in the next season, they can use their draft pick to kind of build around him and become a better team. But I got them going 6-10 this year. To round the division, I got the Seattle Seahawks. Boy, 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 how times have changed. Not too long ago, 2014-15 season, this team was on the 1 yard line, a yard away from back-to-back Super Bowls. Instead of running the ball, giving it to the best running back in the league, passed the ball, which I didn't have a problem with. I've been on a record of saying that I think they made a pretty decent decision passing the ball. But if you're going to pass in that situation and maybe stop the clock because you only have one timeout, you want to call a better play call than that. That play call, the running a flag route to the back of the end zone to draw two guys and kind of running a slant underneath, high school play. You have no business running that play in the NFL. Patriots read it perfectly. Malcolm Butler made a defining interception of his career and basically changed the fortunes of the Seattle Seahawks because that team fell apart after that. Division, feeling like they should have won, feeling like they were robbed by their coach. So a lot of things are different for this team now. If you fast forward, they haven't gotten past the second round ever since. Didn't make the playoffs at all last season, first time in 5 seasons. So they got a lot of good things happening for them. They have, obviously, Russell Wilson, who I believe that would have made the playoffs last year, would have been an MVP candidate. He did very, very well in keeping that team afloat. Obviously got Doug Baldwin coming back next season. Got a plethora of running backs that they're trying to incorporate and see who's going to be running the ball. I think an Achilles heel of Seattle, and one thing I think they did a great job this season of doing that they haven't done in years past is they shored up their offensive line a little bit. It's still not a great offensive line, but it's not bad either. They've had some bad defensive lines. A lot of, you know, pretty much plugging 5 guys off the street and say, go block for Russell Wilson. And then Russell will be running for his life, you know, for a whole season. So I think they're going to be better on the offensive line. Dwayne Brown signed him to an extension. Very, very good left tackle. He'll get to play a whole season this time with Seattle. So I think they're going to be better from that aspect. On the defensive end, not a whole lot coming back. They still have Earl Thomas, presumably if they can get a contract done with him because, you know, he's holding out. He wants more money. He wants to be paid as an elite safety. I don't believe he will because he's on the decline of his career. I mean, that team is a whole lot better with him. They were in the top 10 and passer rating against opponents when he was there, 31st when he was out last season. So he's very, very important to that team because they lost a lot of guys. Jeremy Lane released, Richard Sherman released, Cam Chancellor retired due to injury, Cliff Avery released, traded Michael Bennett. Basically, that team that we knew of from the 13th season to 14th season, gone. Bobby Wagner's still there on the defensive end, but they're basically hitting the reset button and starting all over. Another big move they did that a lot of people are not talking about, which I think is going to help them a little bit, is the addition of Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall has played his whole career and has never made the playoffs. I think he'll be probably the first elite receiver that Russell Wilson will ever have. He's not in the top 10 as receivers are concerned, but he's still very, very good. He still can catch pretty much anything, especially when he's healthy. Very, very good possession guy. I think Pete Carroll now is basically starting over. I don't like the way they're going about it, because it's basically saying we need to get some guys in here that are more quiet, because that team that he had was very, very outspoken. But this team, you know, maybe he can work some type of magic and prove all of us wrong. I don't have them, you know, going very far this year. I think it's going to be another season where Brandon Marshall doesn't make the playoffs. I got Seattle going 8-8 this season. I think they're going to have some ups and they're going to have some downs, the ebb and flow to the season. Got them winning a game against the Cardinals. Got them beating the 49ers. I got them winning one, losing one to the Rams. Then they're going to have a lot of trouble outside of their division, mainly some of those AFC West teams. But I think they're going to have an 8-8 season this year. It's basically seeing what type of rebuild they can have. Basically, I don't believe Pete Carroll's job is on the line this season, but I believe he has to get himself towards next season, because if they can't get anything generated next season, he might be on the hot seat, because he was one of the main people and kind of alienating that team and pushing a lot of those guys that have been very, very good for them out of the door. So what can he do to regenerate this team, to get them focused, to get them being an elite team again? Will they be back on the forefront? I mean, as long as you got Russell Wilson, you have a chance, because he's a really, really good quarterback. In my opinion, he's a top 10 quarterback in this league. He's very, very good at getting outside the pocket, escaping, buying time. He holds the ball a little long for my liking, but he's so, so good, so, so aware. It's just about, can he get a good offensive line? And for the first time since Marshawn Lynch been gone, can he get a running game behind him? And that'll determine their season. But I got them going 8-8 this season. So sorry, Seattle. Think y'all gonna miss the playoffs again. So that's the end of these two divisions. My next podcast, I'm going to be talking about the AFC and NFC South. Two great divisions. Kind of sort of tiffy-turvy. A lot of guys coming back from injury in those divisions. A lot of quarterbacks coming back from injury in those divisions. A lot of high expectations. So I'm going to talk about those teams, talk about their records, talking about more detail about their schedules. So I'm going to get into it and my all 32. So be on the lookout for that. I want to thank everybody for listening to this podcast, everybody for downloading the link, everybody for sharing, everybody for listening to it on SoundCloud, on iTunes, on Spotify, on my YouTube channel, Mo Horton. Thank everybody for listening. Check out my Twitter, Audience of One, Mo Horton. Check out my Instagram, Mo Horton. And please, please be on the lookout for my next podcast. I want to thank everybody for listening. Good night, everybody. Football season's on its way.